God delights in answering our prayers. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to deepen our relationship with God through prayer.
I believe that America is in great need of prayer. Oh, that we would have men and women who pray with boldness and anticipation and faith, believing that God will save the soul of their lost loved one, that God will return the wayward Christian, that God will supply all of our need, and that we would claim the promises of God and pray with great expectancy.
Prayer is a beacon of hope that we can cling to in life's most difficult moments. In our series, A Life of Prayer, Pastor Chappell shows us how to make prayer genuinely meaningful and how to experience true intimacy with God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. With the daily routines of life crowding our schedules, communicating with God is often neglected. Our series today is designed to help you slow down, listen to God, and to experience the benefits of spending time with Him in prayer. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called The Priority of Prayer.
I remember some years ago, a dear lady, and she attended our church, and she had a burden that her husband would be saved. Praise the Lord for that burden. Every person with unsaved relatives should be burdened for their unsaved relatives. And oh, she would pray that her husband would be saved. She prayed for a month or two or three. She prayed even for a year and maybe a little bit longer. Finally, one day, her teacher came to me and said, so-and-so is not attending church anymore. She's become convinced that if she would go to a church where there's a rock band and where there's not so much preaching but more of a conversational style of teaching, that in doing that, it would be much easier for her husband to be saved. And the fact of the matter is that not only has her husband never been saved, but she's no longer attending church in this hour. And she was looking at her situation, and she was trying to think of a way that she could work it out so that her husband somehow could get saved. And the end result was that she herself is not as close to God tonight. Now, I give that illustration to say that many times we want to try to figure out a way, make a way, manipulate a way, and sometimes in so doing, we even begin to compromise what God's Word teaches. And yet we must come back to the necessity and the teaching of Christ tonight, which says that men ought always to pray and to faint not. And God's will tonight is that we would remain steadfast in our prayer life until He reveals His will to us, answers the prayer according to His will in our lives. And it's often true that we're willing to pray to a point, but when things just aren't going the way that we thought they should go to that point, then we revert back to plan B. And I want to encourage you tonight that God has a plan A, and plan A is prayer. And when plan A doesn't seem to be working from our perspective, from God's perspective, He's right on schedule. And did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? Have you ever considered the fact tonight that He knows the beginning from the end? And before we would turn our back on His will for our lives, let us be more earnest in prayer. I want to share three truths from Luke 18 concerning the priority of prayer tonight. Notice, first of all, the priority of prayer. The Bible says in verse 1, once again, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then it says, and not to faint, saying there was a city in which there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. The first thing we see about prayer tonight is that prayer should be constant. Prayer should be constant. Men ought always to pray. And it's interesting when it says in verse number 1, and not to faint. Did you ever stop to consider then, according to this verse, the only alternative we have to not praying is to quit? I'll go a step further. When we repeatedly stop praying day after day, we fail to pray, we are beginning the slow death process to the Christian life. Because the Christian life is first and foremost a relationship with God. And relationships require communication, they require a cultivation. And the way we cultivate a relationship with God besides His Word is through prayer. And the Bible says that if we are not praying, then we are fainting. I had an old preacher say to me years ago, he said, "Brother Chapel, you'll find that people are either always on their way in or on their way out. They're either growing closer to the Lord or they're falling away from the Lord." That goes for every one of us tonight. And the fact of the matter is, if we're not in tune with God, if we're not speaking to God, if we're not hearing Him speak to us through the Word of God, then the fact is tonight, we're fainting even as we sit here tonight. We are dying on the vine. The priority of prayer, we must be constant in our communication with God. I'm simply saying to you tonight that there are churches tonight that are dying for a lack of prayer. There are families tonight that are dying for a lack of prayer. And many times we try to reorganize, we try to come in the back door, we try all these various ways to make things right, but God says, don't forget to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer must be a constant in the Christian life. And come to that garden of prayer and spend time with the Lord. Not only must prayer be constant, but secondly, prayer should be confident. Prayer should be confident tonight. God wants us to come to Him with great confidence. Hebrews 10 and verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful who hath promised." God says, I want you to come to me constantly. I want you to come to me confidently. I want you to approach me with faith and with assurance in your heart, and I want you to come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, that we would have at Lancaster Baptist Church men and women who pray with boldness and anticipation and faith, believing that God will save the soul of their lost loved one, that God will return the wayward Christian, that God will supply all of our need, and that we would claim the promises of God and pray with great expectancy. I believe tonight that America is in great need of prayer. I believe tonight there are many families in this room in great need of prayer. And God says, I want you to come boldly to my throne of grace. I want you to come constantly, but I want you to come as you come before me, recognizing that I'm going to hear your prayer. And I want you to come before me with great confidence in your heart. Now, you know, sometimes the devil causes Christians to rationalize things. And many times I've heard folks say, well, you know, look at people who don't pray to the Lord at all. I mean, just look at them. They seem to be so successful. They seem to be so faithful. And sometimes the devil says that to you as a Christian. But you know, the fact of the matter is that often those who look so successful are hiding behind a mask of happiness. Folks, I want to tell you something. Success in the Christian life is walking closely with God. Sometimes we see people that seem so successful, you know, and the world has its Marilyn Monroes and its Kurt Cobains and its Christina Onassis and Amshel Rothschild, and we could name dozens and dozens of other rock stars who've overdosed and movie stars who've been on their fifth and sixth and seventh marriage, and the world says, well, they don't believe in God and they don't pray, and look how happy they are. My friend, without God, they are of all men most miserable. And we need to be careful that we would be tricked into that type of thinking. We need to recognize that God's will for us is that we would always pray and not to faint. God does not want us to give up on prayer, but rather He's calling on us to call upon Him tonight. Psalm 103 and verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Now tonight, we are either going to go on in prayer or we're going to give up on prayer. And there's no alternative. We're either going to go on in prayer or we're going to give up on prayer. But God's calling out tonight in this parable. Jesus Christ is speaking in the parable. And here the Word of God is saying, men ought always to pray. That means when you're up, you ought to pray. That means when you're down, you ought to pray. That means when you're tired, you ought to pray. That means when the church is growing, you ought to pray. That means when your class is shrinking, you ought to pray. That means when your job is certain, you ought to pray. And when your job is uncertain, you ought to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And not to pray is to begin to faint. Now we see the priority of prayer. Men ought always to pray. Notice secondly tonight, the persistence of prayer. The persistence of prayer. Verse 2, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Now there was this judge, Jesus says in the parable, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. I want you to notice in the parable, first of all, the uncaring judge. The uncaring judge. Perhaps a judge in the Roman magistrate who had very little time for Jewish people. We do not know. Perhaps because this widow was in his mind and in his analysis weak and feeble and lesser in her importance. For whatever reason, she could not gain entrance into the judge. And we see this uncaring judge depicted in verse number 2. He feared not God, neither regarded man. You know, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, how we need to pray today for judges and governors and legislatures who fear God. And in the fear of God, they would begin to have some wisdom. This was a judge like many that we would think of today. No fear of God. Little regard for man, and their thoughts are only on the humanistic plane rather than on the spiritual plane. This uncaring judge. But I want you to see also tonight this persistent widow, the persistent widow, because God in his word tonight is going to show us how that in our weakness we can become strong. And even as the widow was very weak, she became strong through prayer. And even when we are weak, we can become strong through prayer. Now notice her importunity. The Bible says in verse 3 that the widow in that city came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now here was a widow with some type of persecution in her life, some type of a persecutor. Maybe it was an unfair landlord. Maybe it was a neighbor that was giving her trouble, or maybe her employer hadn't paid her all that was due to her. We do not know, but there was persecution in her life. Yet this woman continually came to the judge over and over and over again. The Bible says here that she came continually before the judge. And she was discovering the key to power was in coming continually before the judge. Now, the principle on which every judge will act despite his authority is the principle of persistence. And here we see that the persistent coming to the judge was something that began to touch his heart to the point that he said, though I really have little regard for this person, her persistence impresses me. And based upon her persistence, I'm going to grant her request. Now, I want you to think about that tonight. You know, the Bible says in James 4 and verse 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not. Why? Because ye what? Ask not. You have not because you ask not. And the parabolic teaching that we find here is this, that if an ungodly judge will act in accordance to the request of this widow, how much more will the supreme loving judge of the universe respond to us, his elect, the people he loves, the people that he shed his blood for? And if an unjust judge would say, well, I'm going to answer her request because of her faithful importunity, then how much more will a loving God desire to do his work in the hearts of his children? When we find life to be hopeless, when we find a situation to be desperate, when we are in a futile situation, there is always a pathway to victory. And that pathway is always on our knees. It is always a pathway of coming to prayer, and in prayer, and through constant prayer, and through consistent prayer, and through persistency of the prayer warrior, touching the heart of God. Luke 11 and verse 8 says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, speaking of the friend seeking bread, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. In other words, God in the parables teaches us of the importance of faithful, consistent, or importunate prayer, where we don't come once a day or once a week, but where we come day by day and moment by moment to God with our prayer. Now, we're not talking tonight about manipulating God. We're not talking about blackmailing God, so to speak, that if we pray a certain amount, then he has to answer us. I heard about a man in the state of Missouri many years ago who got very burdened for America, got burdened for revival. He told many of his friends and people in the news media, he said, I'm going to begin praying that this nation changes, and I'm going to fast and pray until there is a sure sign of revival in the land. Now, I believe in fasting, and I believe in praying, and I believe in praying for revival. And I believe we need to pray for revival and fast for revival. But this man said to God, I'm gonna, in a sense, use my life, and my life's gonna be the gun to your head, God. You're gonna have to do something because I'm not gonna eat until revival comes. True story. The man died of starvation. Revival never came because God never intended fasting and prayer to be a method whereby we dictate to him what he's going to do. But God intends prayer and fasting to be a means whereby we might show to him our heart and our desire, and whereby we might come persistently before him until our heart and desire is matched with his will and purpose for our life, and thus God's will is done in heaven and on earth. And so the persistency of prayer is not a sense of blackmailing God. It is rather a matter of bringing to his attention our heart and coming to him with great importunity that he might, as the judge in this parable, answer the prayer of a persistent Christian. So we see the priority of prayer. Men ought always to pray. We see the persistence of prayer. This lady didn't come just once a month or every so often, but she came continually bringing her request to God. Now I want you to notice, thirdly tonight, the practice of prayer. The practice of prayer. The Bible says in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Now God says, I'm going to avenge mine own children. I'm going to take care of mine own children. But he also asks a question in verse 8. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now the practice of prayer is vital. Psalm 109 in verse 4 says, for my love they are my adversaries, but I will give myself unto prayer. The psalmist said, I have adversaries, but I'm not going to write against them. I'm not going to speak against them. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray constantly about it. Now, the practice of prayer. Notice, if you would, two thoughts concerning the practice of prayer. First of all, a thought we must maintain in our minds concerning prayer is that the Son of Man will come. The Son of Man will come. Verse number 8. Notice it again. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, notice the next word, when the Son of Man cometh. Now, how many of you believe that when Jesus Christ returns, that every prayer will be answered at that time? I do. I believe that when we see his face, that we'll understand at that time many things that we never understood here on this earth. Now, the Son of Man will come. The word when tells us that this fact is true to the Scriptures. It is based upon the determination and the sovereignty of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Son of Man himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now the Bible is very clear throughout the Scriptures that Jesus Christ is coming again. Now in our prayers then, we need to be encouraged with that fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Now the Son of Man will come. Therefore, our prayers must be mindful of that fact, and we must be hopeful of the fact that Jesus is coming again. Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know that when you come again, it's going to work out. I know you're going to make all wrongs right at that time. The Son of Man will come. But notice the next question. Will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. This question in verse 8, shall he find faith on the earth? Here's what the Bible's saying. The Son of Man will come. Jesus will come. But will he find faith on the earth? Jesus is coming again. But will he find people on this earth who still pray? Remember verse number 1? Go back there for a moment. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Will Jesus find faith on the earth? We could question it this way. Will Jesus find prayer or prayer warriors on the earth? You see, prayer is our expression of faith in God. When God says, will there be faith found on the earth? We could ask this question tonight. Will there be people who are still talking and communing and speaking to God in faith? Will we have faith on the earth at the time that he comes? Will we have quit believing on God by that time? Say, oh, I've put my faith in Christ for salvation. This is not speaking about salvation. This is speaking tonight about the act of putting our faith and trust in him for the needs and requests that we have. I wonder tonight, when Jesus comes, will there be Christians that are at that time praying for other people to be saved? Will there be Christians believing that God wants to send more missionaries and God wants to see buildings built and God wants to see buses running? And will they be praying to that end? Lord, let us see souls saved. And Lord, send laborers into the harvest field. And Lord, meet this need and meet that need. This is what the verse is saying. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I want you to think about that tonight. Will he in your life when he comes, or when the trumpet sounds and the rapture takes place, will there be faith found on the earth? And I see this question tonight. Nevertheless, when the Son of Him cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I believe tonight we ought to say, Lord, by your grace, not in a presumptuous manner do we say this, but by your grace when you come, we want to be found faithful in your house. We want to be found faithful in the work of God. We want to be true to you. God, when you come, we want to be more than just a person with our name on the roll. We want to be a person that's actively living the life of faith. When he comes, my friend, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith in Lancaster? Will he find faith in your life? Will you still be trusting and pleading and obeying and following his will? And if you say yes to that, then the context of this parable would indicate that prayer is the expression of our faith in God. And if we say, I'll have faith when God comes again, then that means we'll be praying to him and speaking to him. And you see, prayer is thanking instead of complaining. Prayer is rejoicing, accepting, and appropriating God's grace in our life on a daily basis. And God is calling us tonight to be a people who actively practice prayer until he comes again, so that when he comes, there would be those found in faith believing and trusting in God. Now, friend, you cannot enjoy a relationship with God without prayer. No relationship can thrive without communication. It is required in developing any godly relationship. Prayer then may not lead us to our desired answer, but prayer will lead us to the place of understanding that many times those answers are not necessary for us to know God in a greater way. But through the process of prayer, through the practice of prayer, we may not have our will done, but that relationship continues to grow stronger and stronger. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8 that the Lord is the righteous judge. And if this unrighteous judge would stop, and if he would consider the plight of a widow whom he did not know, whom he really could have cared less for, but if he would stop and consider her plight, how much more will our judge stop and consider our plight? But the question comes tonight, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I believe tonight God will hear from his importunate children, his faithful children. But we must say, Lord, help me to be one of those men that always prays and doesn't quit. Lord, help me to see the priority of prayer. Lord, help me to be persistent in my prayer like the widow lady in the parable. Lord, help me in my prayer life, each and every day to find a practice of prayer that would simply say, when you come again, I'll be found with faith. I'll be trusting you and looking to you.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled, Living on God's Economy, 10 Reasons to Place Your Financial Hope in the Promises of God. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY or go to dailyintheword.org to request this resource for yourself or a loved one. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.